Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Lilydale Radio. The name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. I am Colleen Vander Zijden, the host of the show. Thank you for joining me tonight. Lilydale is one of the largest spiritualist communities in the world, and you do. I want to take care of details first so I don't forget. You can follow them at lilydaleassembly.org. Go to their website there. You can also do Lilydale Assembly Incorporated on Facebook. You can follow me at psychicmediumcolleen.com is my website, or ColleenVanderZijden.com. And you can also follow me on Facebook, Colleen Vander Zijden, medium and intuitive life coach. Have to get the details out of the way, otherwise I may forget. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining tonight. We are going to be talking about healing energy today, how to work with healing, what healing is, and all sorts of things. We have the added advantage of having video, so I can demonstrate some things for those of you who are interested in doing healing work. Healing is a very interesting topic because I have taught many classes in healing over the years. I started doing healing work in 2001, and I probably have taught, oh boy, I don't even know how many workshops in healing, 20 maybe. I've been teaching it a long time, and I've attended all sorts of workshops all across the country, learning as much as I can about healing work. So it is one of my specialties, and I do love talking about healing. When we think about healing, so many times people think it's a physical healing, that's what most people are looking for. But healing work can actually be more than that. It is physical, but also mental, emotional, and spiritual. So for me, as a spiritualist, all forms of healing are spiritual. And I will talk about that a little bit in a bit. I'm going to look at the comments to make sure I haven't done anything weird. So let's see. We have, I like this topic. Yes, I'm a psychic. Would love messages. Okay, we'll see. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining. How interesting. Okay, so we are going to talk about healing. And healing is an interesting thing. Everything has energy. Everything. Everything has a vibration. So in this vibration, when we are at our healthiest, our body resonates at a certain vibration. This applies physically as well as mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So it applies to everything. When we feel great, our vibration is wonderful. Sometimes when we have upsetting situations or challenges or a physical issue of some kind, that will change the vibration in our bodies. So what we're doing with healing work is we are working on that vibration, shifting it one way or another, and there's different techniques we can use to do that, but we're working on shifting the vibration to get us back to our optimum level. So even though we think of physical issues as being primary for cause to get us into healing and helping people, it is important, and I do work on people physically, of course, but we have to take into consideration that the divine energy knows what somebody really needs to be healed of or healed with. Years ago, I was doing a healing on someone, and I said to them, okay, you know, this is what I'm feeling. This is everything I'm getting. And I told them that I believed, and I do still believe this, that if you come for a healing with a healer anywhere, you will receive a healing. It may not be what you're looking for, but you will receive it. And this client, when I was talking to her, she came back to me after a session, and she says, well, I don't know if I really got anything. You know, my eczema's gone, and I'm feeling a lot better, so I've decided to move, and then I changed my job, and I'm thinking, my goodness, all of these changes. And she wasn't convinced that the healing had much to do with it, which was interesting because it all happened right after the healing. So you never know what the divine thinks is right for you, how you need to be healed. Years ago, when I was first starting out as a healer, I was talking to a friend after church, and he had just been diagnosed with a tumor. And this was a Sunday, and he was going to go into the hospital on Monday for his pre-op appointment, and they were going to do everything they needed to do to check it. So I worked on him a little bit after church, just in that area, and I just kept talking to him, and, you know, I wasn't doing anything fancy or anything. And then he called me up. When he went in for his pre-op, the tumor had disappeared. And when that happened, I thought, oh, my goodness, really? I still get amazed at these things. And I thought, well, this is interesting. So, of course, then I worked on him a little bit more for other issues. But the physical healing was very important, but it also helped him recognize that there's a greater power out there, that this power can help him with all sorts of things, not just the physical concerns. Let's see. Gloria is saying, I have benefited from a number of different types of healing, spiritual, Reiki, quantum healing, and more. Leanne, I swear by sound healing, especially solfeggio frequencies. I use them to get my children and myself med free. Divine knows what we need. Yes. Yes. And I have studied, let's see if I can remember all the things I've studied. I have done Reiki, of course, therapeutic touch. Quantum touch is wonderful. Love it. Reconnective healing is a big one for me. I spent a lot of time with that. Spiritual healing. There was the harmonic tone healing, which I won't get into, but that was actually involved violins and changing the sound of violins using certain symbols and energies that way. I've also, being a musician, of course, I am very big on sound healing. I have studied that with several people. And with sound healing, you can use your voice, you can use words, chant, toning, you can use tuning forks, you can use crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, all sorts of tools you can use for healing. And that will take me off of my topic. Well, not really take me off. It'll divert me for a second, because I do want to talk about those different kinds of healing. There are so many out there, so many different methods and techniques out there, and all of them work. All of them, in my opinion, are a form of spiritual healing. Every single one of them is a form of spiritual healing. Now, some people will swear by a certain kind or feel that this one particular kind is the best, and that's just because it works well for you, which is perfect and fine. But also, with all of these different types of healing out there, we appeal to a broader audience, where if somebody, I can say to somebody, and I'll demonstrate, I can do this over somebody's arm and change whatever is happening physically in their body, mentally, emotionally, etc. I can change that just with my hand. Some people may think that's spooky, and I'm sure you've experienced that. But if I were to use a tuning fork and do the same thing with that, so what you do in tuning fork healing is you click on something to get the sound going, and then you run it over the body. And when there's an area in the body that needs healing, the sound will disappear. So you can go over it, and you'll notice the sound changes or disappears, and then you can go back and work in that area. When we use something like sound healing, it applies. The people who are very much interested in scientific things find that more rational than my just using my hand or my thoughts to do a healing. So these different forms of healing apply to different people. So I would encourage you not to limit yourself with just one form of healing, because the more you study, the more you experience different forms of healing, you will be picking up your own form of healing. You'll be channeling the energy that is right for you. Now, I do want to talk about that as well. Hi, Ray. Nice to see you tonight. Yes, sound healing is awesome. It really is awesome. There's so many different ways to do things, however. So I want to talk about being a healer, whether you're going to heal other people as a career choice, or it's something you're just interested in, or you very much just enjoy working with energy. As a healer, you do not have to be totally healed with whatever issues you may have before you can help other people. I've had a couple people tell me in workshops in the past, well, I feel like I really need to work on myself more. I have this physical issue, that physical issue, this, this, this. You do not have to be totally healed to do that. It's okay, because what's happening is you are channeling the energy. You are bringing the energy through from another place. You are using your body as a channel, your energy field as a channel. And because you're doing it that way, you're not using your own energy. You're not going to spread whatever you have to someone else, anything like that. That was another myth that somebody brought up to my attention once, and I was a little confused by that. You will not do that. You're channeling the energy. Now, because you are channeling the energy, what's happening is you are getting into the healing vibration that is available to all of us at all times. It's around us all of the time. So we raise our vibration up, if you will, to get into that vibrational healing energy so we can use that energy and channel it through to the people that we might be helping or ourselves, if that's the case. Everybody has the ability to heal themselves. We all have it. Our body knows how to heal itself. Sometimes some of the things we do stop it from healing itself. Sometimes we cannot be healed by whatever physical issue that we want to disappear. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay, so what I don't want you to think is that, yes, we can heal ourselves, but I can't heal myself of this, so that means something, and you go off and make a meaning out of it that's negative. We all have physical issues. We all have things we're working on. And sometimes these physical challenges, for whatever reason, and we don't know what it is, will not be healed here in the physical. Okay, so I don't want you to read this the wrong way, but I've also seen miracles. We've all heard about miracles. So we must never give up hope that that physical healing can happen if that is something we desire. So as a healer, or bringing through that healing energy, we have to be clear about ourselves, what is going on with us, so that we know what's being channeled. And I'm going to have to explain this a little bit more. As a clear channel, I want to make sure you're not egotistical about it, okay? Barbara Sanson, a wonderful healer who was in charge of the healing temple at Lilydale, a phenomenal healing teacher. One of her primary focuses when she teaches a healing class is to make sure people understand they do have to work on themselves. We do need to try to have ourselves be at as high vibration as possible. If we're egotistical, I believe my theory is that sometimes that can get in our way and we won't be as clear of a channel. We want to be aware of ourselves, what we're feeling, what we're thinking. We want to be open to the idea of self-growth and improving ourselves as much as we can. Most healers that I have met are in agreement with me that it is important for us to understand ourselves so that we can operate from the highest and the best so we can help other people. We want to be responsible as we're working with other people as well. Backing up again, there's so much to say. As I said earlier, I've taught many healing classes, and I'm wanting to give you as much information as possible, but there is no way I can teach you everything I know. So it's going to be a little pick and choosing right now. So I am going to back up and all sorts of things as I do this. Lots of times when we're doing healing, we want so badly to heal someone else. We have an urgency about it. There is something special about doing healing work with someone who has a strong need. And I've worked on many people with cancer, tumors, diabetes, all sorts of things. And when I know someone has a very strong need, I call out for help. I call out for that guidance, that healing energy to come through. But we have to be careful that because we want it so badly and we want so badly to help, that we stop ourselves from being the channel, that instead we use our own energy to try to heal someone. So it's very, 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 very important that we understand that we are channeling, and we must always be in the channeling mode. When we use our own energy to try to heal someone out of our kindness and our love and our desire to help, that's when we'll do it, usually. We can deplete our energy, and we don't want to do that. You'll find the more you channel that energy through, the more you start to feel better and your own issues, you'll start to receive your own healing. But you'll find that the energy is clearer. So you want to make sure you're very clear about channeling the energy. I'm looking at comments just in case I don't mix it up or forget something. We are just conduits for the energy someone needs. And that is so true. Yes, and there are a lot of people who are natural healers, Julie. The people, my opinion again, a little digression again, my opinion is that people who are natural healers are the people who are used to giving for others, who are also highly empathic, pick up on other people's energies and how they feel, and naturally want to help. So people who are natural healers, and there are many more today than there used to be, are ideal for getting out there and helping others as much as possible. Let's see. Did healing on my dog. Yes. Hello, Dawn. Nice to see you. Now, I do want to mention the three essential healing principles, the three essential principles. Okay, the first one is intention. What is it you're intending to do? What is it? You do not have to know what issue a client has who's in front of you, who needs a healing, somebody's contacted you, they need help. You don't have to know the issue. Your intention is to bring through the healing energy for their highest and the best. That's your intention. Now, if you know somebody has a certain concern, you can, of course, set the energy for that. So you want to set your intention. The next thing is we want to talk about and add to that is the vibration. The second principle is vibration. How are you going to add the vibration to that? And we will talk about some techniques, and we mentioned a little bit about the sound healing and Reiki and all of these other methods. Those are how you're going to add the vibration. Okay, so we have intention, we have vibration, and the last one is love. You are coming from a loving place. You're bringing in the healing energy, which, yes, is the loving divine energy. That's what you're doing. You're connecting to that. So whenever you're working on someone or yourself, set your intention. Know how you're going to do the vibration, and it doesn't have to be, you can change your mind. Just do something. And then we have the love that goes with it. Those are the three healing principles that I teach that are very essential to bringing in the highest and the best for whoever we're working with. Now, if you're working with people, lots of times you'll hear that you need to set up some kind of protection around yourself. You do not have to set up protection around yourself if you are of the belief that you are divine. You don't need to set up protection around yourself. However, what you can do, and this is what I used to do before I started a healing session, I would take some moments to myself to meditate, to kind of clear myself out, get rid of any thoughts that might be bothering me, worries, concerns, anything in my head. I would kind of center myself back in, do a little meditation. Then I would consciously set my intention. What is it I want to achieve? I would ask my guides on the other side, healing guides, whoever, angels, go right to the top and ask for Jesus and God. You know, ask whoever you want to help you. We all have guides. We all have healing guides that will help us. You can ask them to help. Some people will do some prayers. You know, I call in the whatever, I ask this, Bible phrases, whatever phrases you want. Then literally set your intention. Today's intention is to, boom, okay? That is a routine, something you can get into to get you in the right mindset. But in terms of protection, I have a very strong belief that we are all divine and we don't need protection. We are not going to pick up on other people's things and keep them. We may feel them briefly, and I may remember to talk about that. We may feel them briefly, but we are not keeping them. It's just a tool that the universe knows to use to let us be aware of what somebody may need help with. So we may feel some things, but it's not ours, and we're not going to keep it. So we don't need to be protected. If you feel you need to be protected, that's fine. You can do what you need to do. Lots of times people will say they want to put that white light around them, which is fine to do because that is an intention of making sure you're in your good space. So whatever you want to do is fine. I like to have candles around because I like it. It's not necessary, but I like it. So there are things that you'll want to do as your own routine when you do healing work that will get you into that space. So anything you do to get you into that space is fine. If you're going to work on other people, there is the concept of permission. If you hear a story, say you hear a story, though, you hear something on the news. Okay, let's just pick this horrible story about these people with the volcano. I mean, oh my goodness. So you hear that story and you immediately send prayers out because you're a kind, caring person, right? So you send prayers out, but I also wanted to step it up and I wanted to send some literal healing to them. Now I don't know them. I can't ask them for permission. So what I can do is send that healing to them and their soul will have the choice whether they take it or not. Okay, so there is a little bit of an exception to the rule of getting permission. This is, you know, when you hear of a situation, something that touches you, and you want to help, you send that energy, and that's fine to do, with the intention that the soul will take it if the soul wants it. Now, though, say you're walking down the street, or you're in Lilydale, for example, and you see somebody who's having some problem physically, and you say, oh, I can help you. And that sounded a little bit like ego there for a second, didn't it? So you want to go, so you go over there and you just put your hands on them and you say, well, I'm going to help you with your healing. They didn't ask you, okay? Don't violate their space. Ethics here, ethics. Don't violate their space. If you notice or somebody mentions that they need healing or they'd like healing, then you can offer. Or if you know someone who is having a struggle, you can contact them and offer, with your permission, I can help you, possibly. I would like to send you healing energy if you're interested in that. So you do want to ask. If you hear of a child, you can reach out to their mother, their father, whoever, and ask, offer. I'm working on a child now that is having some situations, serious situations. And so I contacted her and I said, you know, I would be happy to help if you're interested in that. And so she was open to that. So I did do some work on him and we communicated a bit. And so I leave a little note on my desk of who I'm working on now so that I can send them some healing energy. So there is the concept of permission to keep in mind. Always ask first. Now, a side note, in Lilydale, you're not necessarily allowed to go up to people and, you know, give readings on the grounds, okay? Part of a class, different thing. Same thing with healing. Got to be a little careful about that, okay? I'm going to read some of the messages people are writing. Early on when I was learning about energy, if I worked on somebody who felt drained, I realized I wasn't channeling properly, but then learned how to channel the divine and no more feeling drained. Yes, Charlotte, so, so true. So that's how you'll know if you are not channeling anymore, if you start to feel drained, you know, and you're giving too much. Ashley, I struggle with not depleting my own energy. I'm an end-of-life doula. I help people in many ways, but lately I struggle with draining myself. So, Ashley, what you'll want to do, you'll want to add some energetic replenishers to your routine. You'll want to make sure you're very clear in the morning when you get up that you bring in some of these energies. Bring it up from the ground, bring it down from the universal energy, the sky. Make a point of it. Set your intention that you're filling yourself up. You will also want to set an intention of the space around you that you do not deplete your energy, that you don't pick up other people's things. So you'll just want to set that up. You may be draining yourself a lot lately because right now in the world, there is a lot of things happening and it's affecting us without us really being aware of it. So you'll just have to be very cautious and very careful with your energy. So set your intention to help yourself that way. Protect yourself is okay to do. And sometimes, you know, I think I might like to talk to you about that end-of-life doula. I would be very interested to hear about that a little bit here. It's how you're channeling. If you channel the divine and use universal energy, you shouldn't feel drained. Yes, Charlotte. How do you not keep it? I'm going to talk about that. Don't use your energy. I love it. Don't use your energy. Don't do it. Just don't. Oh, cool. Yes. Okay, good. So when you're doing healing, you may very well pick up on other people's energies. And so I'll skip to that right now because somebody asked about it. You will pick it up. I was doing a healing once in church, and I talked about this maybe last week. I don't know. I was doing a healing in church, and I felt like I was having a heart attack. And I was very concerned because I was doing a healing, and I'm having a heart attack in front of everybody. But what it turned out is I was picking up on their issues, what they had had. When I do distant healings, I connect in with the other person wherever they are, New York City, Australia, Toronto, Los Angeles, wherever they are. I use my body as kind of a barometer, and I set my intention to touch in with them. They know when I'm starting, stopping, and all of that. So I will just notice how I'm feeling in my body. Now, of course, I should mention this. Before you start a healing, in person or distant, know how you're feeling before you start. Because if all of a sudden you start doing a healing and you get this pain in your back and you think, is that my pain or their pain? And you think, I don't know if I checked in with myself first. So check in with yourself first. If you already have a pain happening someplace, you know it's yours. Okay, so whenever I'm doing the healing, whatever I feel in my body, I start working on. So basically, I start working on myself until it starts to feel better, and then I move to a different location. So with your intention, if you understand that what you're picking up is, I'm going to call it a shadow, interesting choice. I'm going to call it a shadow of their energy. It's just an energetic impression. You really don't have it. Okay, it's not really there. I really wasn't having a heart attack, okay? If I feel that back pain, it's really not mine. And that's how I do my readings as well. When I'm touching in with spirit, I will feel their physical issues. That's how I work. If it doesn't work for you, there's another way you can do it. So it's okay. That's just how it works for me. If you notice you pick up on other people's issues in your body when you're doing healing work or anything else, then use it to your advantage. And so that you can use it to get information and work that way. So if you realize it's not really yours, it won't stay with you. Now, being a sensitive person and working with energy, we're all sensitive, we will sometimes pick up on some other things, and maybe if we're not aware of it yet. Years ago, before I was as aware as I am now about how healing works, I was with a friend of mine who had cancer, and I did not know this at the time. And he was also going through chemotherapy. I knew he was sick, and I knew he wasn't doing well. There were a small group of us around, and I knew he wasn't doing well. It was obvious. And I was sitting next to him, and the longer I sat next to him, the sicker I started to feel. And I didn't know what was going on at all. I just wasn't aware yet. And as I was driving home with him, not with him, I had left him behind, so to speak, and I was driving home by myself, all of a sudden, I felt very nauseous. I needed to vomit. It was not going to be pretty. So I made it home, and I was actually sick for 2 days. So what had happened was I was picking up on his energy and the chemotherapy energy. And part of it was because I was consciously opening my energy to him and offering healing without asking. And what had happened was it kind of bit me. The energy kind of came back. And so I did pick up on that energy. That was quite some time ago, and I have not had that experience since. And I do understand it was an important lesson for me in making sure I get permission and not being open to every single person that needs help, you know, especially if they don't ask for it. And also, it helps me recognize how sensitive I am and how careful I needed to be with my own energy. Looking at the comments again, just to make sure I haven't missed a good question. I think I've been accidentally doing this unintentionally. Yes, if you are practicing personal healing through sleep meditations and others hear it as well, is that considered violating free will? What does that mean, Leanne? Explain that some more to me. I'll try to come back. I want to see what this means a little bit more. How interesting. How do you know the energy was coming from him? I knew the energy was coming from him because nothing else was different. Everything else was the same. I was in a place with people I've always been with, and you could feel it. I could feel it. Yeah, it was an interesting situation. I hope none of you get to experience that, but since I've told you about it, you won't. So let's see, we've talked about permission, protection, grounding. Yes, it's so very important because for all of us, when we're interested in the spiritual fields, we want to work on our crown chakra and our third eye chakra. We want to be in that happy, spacey place where everything is just wonderful and we feel so high and light. And then sometimes we forget about the grounding. So we want to make sure we ground before we do a healing and after we do a healing. We also want to ground the person that we're working on. We can do that with our intention. If we're in person, we can touch their feet or their shoulders with the intention of grounding. If you need to ground yourself, walking outside is a wonderful thing, digging in a garden, holding a faucet while the water is running. I know that's a little crazy sounding. You don't have to have your hands in the water. Hold the faucet because the faucet is grounded. It can work if you put your hands in the water, but it's kind of cool if you hold the faucet, have the water running, hold it. You might feel the energy literally come out of your arm and into the faucet. It's an amazing experience when that happens. That can ground you as well. If you are having a problem with too much energy, you just feel like your head is just buzzing and it's just too much, what you can do is put your fingertips right here, right above the third eye area, and press a little bit and then pull to the side, okay? So you pull to the side and the intention is to kind of loosen that energy up. So you start here and then you can keep going up here and just keep going. Okay. Sometimes going this way behind your ears and down can help as well. So if you notice you get a lot of buildup in your head, that is an awesome way to move that energy and get it going like it's supposed to. I want to see Leanne, meaning someone being healed without their permission through your own healing practices. Ooh, cool. That's okay. That's okay. If someone else is being healed just because you're working on yourself, that is fine. You will find, and that's a great comment, Liam. Thank you. You will find that the more you work on yourself, the higher your vibration is going to be. And your presence alone, and don't take this the wrong way as an ego thing, okay? But your presence alone is going to help others heal. You're going to be raising their vibration without you making an effort to or even being aware of it. It's just going to happen. Isn't that about the coolest thing ever? It's along the lines of people believing Jesus can heal them just by being in his presence. It's the same thing. If you keep raising yourself up, people are going to start noticing. They're not going to know why they feel better in your presence. They're just going to know they do, and they may have those physical healings. So that's a fine thing to do. And if someone is healed because you're working on yourself or just sending healing out to anybody who needs it, a great prayer to do, that's a wonderful thing. Keep doing it. It's a wonderful thing. I want to talk about cleansing and clearing your own energy a little bit. We've mentioned a little bit about grounding. Breath is primary for clearing your energy. We all know about meditating, and if you can integrate the breathing with the meditating, you will get you will clear yourself out very well. Lots of different ways you can do cleansing breaths, counting things, sometimes breathing in on a count of four, breathing out at 8 or 10 or 12 can really help get rid of some of the stuck energy in your body. That's a great thing to do. 36 breaths. It oxygenates your body and will raise your vibration more, clearing it. So 36. If you want to build up energy in your hands, and I do want to talk about hands. I have time. If you want to build up energy in your hands, you can do it by your intention, but also by doing what we call fire breath, which I got from Quantum Touch. You can. It's kind of like Lamaze breathing. You just kind of pant. And as you're doing that, you're building up the energy in your hands so that the energy gets stronger. Okay, reading more comments. Absolutely, yes. I notice I hold my breath sometimes. I have to remind myself to breathe. Yes. Oh, that's interesting. I've been known to do that on occasion myself. That's interesting. So, clearing yourself out. Okay. So, getting yourself, I've had tremendous losses, overall heavy emotional stuff. Feel blocked. Okay, Charlotte. Awesome question, Charlotte. So Charlotte's saying that she wants to get back to a higher vibration. She's had some big losses, heavy emotional stuff, and needs some guidance because she's feeling blocked. What will happen is, okay, which one am I going to go to? Okay, what will happen is there will be certain areas of our body where the energy will get stagnant. Now, if you know about the chakras are the energy, major energy centers within the body. There's the root chakra, which is at the bottom of your spine. That is for safety, security. We have the sacral chakra, which is a little bit about your belly button area, give or take a little. That's the creativity one, things like that. Solar plexus up a little bit more. That's your personal power, the heart chakra, the love, throat, communication, third eye, intuition, the crown chakra, connecting with spirit, and the spiritual aspects of life. You can Google those if you need more information. So much information there about the chakras. So what will happen sometimes is our chakras will get stagnant in certain areas. If we've had a big loss, something huge, we've lost people, a job, whatever it is, the energy could get stuck in our heart chakra. Okay, so I'll give you an example of how you can heal that. There are a couple of ways. I'll just go with whatever comes into my head. One, we want to move this energy. So you could literally go like this to bring the energy up and just smooth out over the heart, or we can also go the other way and go down. We can put our hands above the heart area and kind of pull out, okay? You can kind of pull out that way. I'm going to have to talk about the mechanics in a minute, but you can pull that out and just kind of spread it out a little bit. Another thing you can do is put your hand on your heart, put one hand up, and I call it satellite. What you're doing is you're bringing in the healing energy in this hand, the satellite hand, sending it to your heart energy. Your intention is that you're bringing it in, okay? Those are some things you can do to just kind of move that along. Another thing that you can do is music is huge, okay? High vibrational music, something uplifting. You know, there's a lot of healing music out there now. I always talk about Jonathan Goldman because he's my favorite sound healer. So, you know, he has so much out there. You can find things online. There's lots of stuff. So music helps. Tuning forks, again, those are a great way to move some energy there. Interesting. Yeah, color. Let's talk about color for a minute, too. Along with that, we can do some color healing. The heart is traditionally green or pink. You can start with something like that. Just put it there. You know, something, you wear something green or pink, or get a green cloth, or the intention of green. So many ways. And put that there. That can help as well. Some of those ideas may help. I'm going to see. Okay. Let's talk about using your hands, because if some of you haven't done healing before, I need to really talk about this. So in your hands, you have in the palms, you have the healing energies in here. Okay, and so this is fun. We're going to have some fun right now. So what you can do to feel this is, I always tell people in the first class, you don't have to do this after a time or two, okay? Do this to just kind of weigh that up a little bit. Okay, and our intention now is you take your hands. I'm just going to back up. My hands are gigantic in the camera. What you can do is you take your hand here. You're a little bit away, and what you're going to do is you're going to come bouncing in. Okay? So you go in a little bit, and then you pause and go back a little. And what we're doing is we're creating an energy ball between our hands. It's kind of like a little beach ball in there. So as we start doing this, you may start to notice, if not now, when you practice it another time, you might start to notice some tingling in here. You might start to notice hot, cold. You might notice a little bit of a pressure where it feels like there's physically a ball there, okay? So this is a fun way, if you haven't experienced doing some healing yourself, to play with the energy. I love playing with the energy. It is so much fun for me. So you do this and you keep doing it and you'll start to feel it build up in there. Okay, so once you have a little bit of a build up in there, just keep your intention that you're building it and it's getting stronger. You can also add light to it. You'd like it to be light and bright, and you'll start to feel it. Okay, and then what you can do is you can start manipulating it. So you can make it, you can kind of feel this ball, okay, and just kind of play with it and see how it feels. Then you can draw it apart and see if you can still notice those feelings between your two hands. And then you can come back in together again. So this will wake up your hands so that then you can do some healing work. Some games to play with. Because you know me, teaching time. Slinky, you can feel the weight on one hand, and then you feel it on the other hand. So you'll feel it go back and forth. You can do this and draw on your hand, and you'll feel it. So the energy comes out from here, but it can also come out from your fingers. So if you're working on somebody, you do want to be aware of where your fingers are pointing. So as long as your intention is clear, you'll be okay. But you don't want to just be like shooting it everywhere, right? So you want to do this. And you can do this. I call it clock. You can just draw letters or you can do the clock on your hands. So these are some things to kind of wake up that energy. When you're doing healing on somebody, whether you're working in the auric field or whether you're working on their body, it depends what feels right to you, which is your receiving hand and your giving hand. Generally for me, I'm right-handed. So my right hand is the one I use for scanning their body to see what's going on when I'm in the energy field, scanning their body. But if you're left-handed, maybe the left hand is better for you. That's the hand I generally send energy with. And the left hand, I generally kind of pull it out, okay? So it depends. You'll figure out what's right for you. I am not a big do it this way person, but I love to give people options. And so you can figure out what's right for you, what works for you. We want it to be as wonderful for you as it is for me. And that's what we really want. I'm looking at colors. No wonder my favorite color is pink. I sleep with chakra crystals. Chakras are fun too. I did this as a kid, and it felt like a magnetic push and pull. Yes. Sometimes when I work on people's heads, if I do this, it feels like that magnetic resistance. It's kind of neat when that happens. I love when that happens because it's just so cool. And it feels like that energy will feel to me like it's a physical thing for me. So now working on somebody, personally, I only work in the energy field if it's a private healing. In church, I'll do either, okay, on the body or in the energy. But if you work in the energy field, you can go over a person's body, 3, 4, 5 inches above, and you'll start to feel the layer there of the energy. And as you get more practice in and you play with it some more, you might feel all sorts of things. You could feel cold. You could feel a breeze. I had a serious burn on my leg once. And when I put my hand over it, I could feel cold air, a column of cold air coming out of it. It was very interesting. So, and then I worked on just smoothing it over. You might feel it being rough, or there might be a ridge, or you might feel a dip or a hole. You could feel something that feels like there was a pillar there of some kind, and you run into something. So you'll start to notice different things as you work with people. Now, of course, working on the body is a trickier situation. You want to be very careful about where you're touching, obviously. You don't want to ever make anyone uncomfortable. And if you're doing a healing when other people are watching, you don't want to make them uncomfortable either. So you want to make sure you're touching in appropriate places, okay? I don't think I need to tell you that too much, but just in case I do, there you have it. You want to, as you're working, it is so much fun to just see what you notice, see what you feel, and then go with it. My goal when I feel something, if I feel something catches my attention, is I try to smooth it over, the energy over, or I try to make it stronger. So if I'm working on somebody and I'm really close to their body, I can't feel the energy, I have to be very close, then I feel like their energy is inside their body trying to repair itself, if you will. So I want to draw it out and make it stronger this way as well. So I'll try to draw it out and with different techniques that I can use. So I'll draw it out that way to help. Healing is such an awesome thing that we have the gift of, and everyone has it who has an interest in it. And it's an awesome thing that we can do this. Our motions, the motions we choose to do, do increase or decrease the energy. The more practice you get, the more classes you take and get some more strategies, the more focused you'll be able to make your energy. I did a healing workshop at Lilydale in the spring. It was a weekend workshop where we did three classes, and it was so much fun. And they learned so much, and they got so much out of it. So sometimes if you can do a kind of intensive thing, that helps. I do have some private coaching clients where I help them with their healing skills as well. And we have a lot of fun with those too. Now, something I do want to mention, working on children or animals, they do not need as much energy as adults do. So where you might work on an adult for 30 minutes, they may need that 30 minutes because it's going to take them 28 minutes to get comfortable and open themselves up enough to allow the healing to happen. A child or an animal, 30 seconds, a minute could be more than enough. So never feel like you have to, that longer is necessarily better, because what may happen is you may start to feel sick or depleted. There have been a couple times where I've felt pain come up my arm and I'm thinking, what is going on? And then finally I realized it was the energy was too much. It was kind of backing up, if you will. They didn't need that energy anymore. It was time to stop or move to a different location and come back if I felt like I needed to do that. I'm a very intuitive healer. I have a lot of skills and techniques that I teach, many, many, many of them. But every time I do a healing, new things happen and a new technique comes in and a new idea comes in. And where we might have a traditional path, you know, maybe we start at the head and work our way down, we may have that path, but then we may deviate and go wherever we feel like we're called. Do you have to physically touch or just hover over the area? You do not have to. I don't know if you mean psychically or physically, huh? I'll answer both. Physically, you do not have to touch. Psychically, as long as you're just in that area or with your intention, you can do a healing without anything happening with your hands at all. You can close your eyes and you can do a healing just like that, because you'll do it with your intention. And that's a wonderful, wonderful way of doing it, just to see what happens. It's a, what do we want to call it, a soul-to-soul connection, I think is what I'll call it. And that can, it's amazing, you know, that you can do this. One of my healing teachers many, many years ago said to work in the area, just work in an area until you get bored. Then go someplace else. When I'm doing a healing, I don't do a lot now of personal healings anymore just because I don't have time. I used to do a lot of free group distant healings, and I haven't done any in a while. I really should put some in my schedule so I can help people that way. But it's fun to be able to do something to keep ourselves focused. But I find some of my best healings are when my brain just kind of wanders away and I start thinking about something else, like what will I have for dinner tonight? And then all of a sudden I can tell the energy just went through. And I think it's getting out of my own way is what it is. Let's see, new comment. Such an interesting topic. I love talking about healing. I'm glad I made that because it's just wonderful. So apparently that was a spelling error. I did both. I think I do it in my head, just sending love. And, you know, isn't that really what we're doing? When it comes down to it, isn't that really what we're doing? We're sending love. We want to be helping other people. Okay, let's see if I left anything out. I've got my little handy list here. Oh, yeah, I should tell you this. If you're working on somebody else and they have not had a healing, energy healing experience before, explain to them what you're going to do so that they understand. I recommend not touching them in a private situation just because we don't want any misunderstandings. Explain what's going to happen. Let them know how it works. Let them know they may feel things as they're having a healing. I had a client once who I didn't know what was going on with her. She was shutting her eyes and she was kind of convulsing a little bit. And finally, afterwards, I said, "What were you doing?" She says, "Well, I felt like I needed to laugh, but I didn't want to offend you. And I said, whatever you feel is right. You should have just laughed. It would have been fine. It would have been fine. So people experience different things. People will, you know, want to laugh. Some people will cry. Some people might sleep and then feel like they missed it. But I always tell them if they fell asleep, that's what they needed, so that maybe it was easier for the energy to go into their body without them trying. I always tell my clients not to sit there basically going, please heal my arm, please heal my arm, please heal my arm, please heal my arm. Don't do that. Set the intention so they can set their intention and then let it go and just experience the situation. Just experience the healing. Everyone has a different experience. I've seen people, literally their arms will start lifting off the table. I had a guy once who was levitating off of the table. It was freaking crazy. So I've seen things. You never know what's going to happen. Just go with it. So don't tell them too much about what could happen. Just tell them to pay attention to how they feel and what goes through their heads. Sometimes people will connect with loved ones on the other side when they're having a healing. Sometimes they'll see colors or shapes or stars or something like this. And it could mean something. So have them just pay attention. At the end of the healing, what I always do is I touch them on the shoulder and I tell them ahead of time, I will not touch you until the very end. That way, if somebody touches them during the healing, which has happened many times, they know it wasn't me. Someone else is touching them. So be clear that you will not touch them, but at the end, you can touch their shoulder and say, thank you. You can open your eyes when you're ready, is what I usually say. You can open your eyes when you're ready and take your time. Don't get up off the table right away. I don't want them falling over. So you can do that. And then I ask them what they experienced. What did they feel? And then I share what I felt, because we may have felt some similar things. If I knew what their health concern was ahead of time or their issue that they wanted me to work on, I'll talk about how I address that. If we did not talk about that, I will just tell them what I noticed. Because I noticed something doesn't mean there's a big problem, okay? It could be the stuck energy. It could be a physical issue. It could be any number of things. So I want to make sure they're reassured, and then I'm not saying they have some horrible disease. I'm not doing that. So then we just kind of share and see what happens. And then I tell people they can come back when they feel right, you know, when it feels right for them. If anybody ever tells you need to have so many healings, blah, blah, no, no. One can do it. Sometimes people will have one that's great. They come back for the second one, and then all sorts of stuff comes up, and then they come back for a third one. Never know what's going to happen. Then look at comments. Do you do Reiki when healing? I actually do mostly my own form of healing now. I call it luminescent healing because what I'm doing is bringing in light. It probably is a mishmash of everything I've learned plus everything, you know, from classes and workshops, but also what I've learned on my own. It's mostly what I do now. I never really did Reiki that much, even though I took the classes, because it didn't really resonate with me. Some other healing methods fit my vibration a little bit better, apparently. But as I said in the beginning, every form of healing is spiritual healing. So that's really what we're doing. So my luminescent healing is just bringing in light and shifting people's vibration to make them as high as possible. And I love it. It's so much fun. So I think I may have talked about everything. Oh, my goodness. Huh, that was a mini class in healing. That was a mini class for you. Isn't that awesome? One more thing. I want to talk about auras, and I think I'm actually going to create a little mini class about this, but when you're doing healing on somebody, what can be fun to do is if your hand is above their body, to look between your hand and their body to see if you see the energy coming through. You're basically going to see the energy coming through. You may see their aura with it. And I think Ray, it was mentioned earlier, that when he sees the healers in church, they'll have a glow about them. And that is true, because a healer or a medium, when they're very connected with the other side, with the healing energy, with God, they will brighten up their aura in here. And you may be able to notice it. And I did mention this before. When I watched John Edward work, the medium John Edward, he always has this amazing glow about his head where people who don't normally see auras can see his energy. So whenever I watch him work as a medium, he's an amazing medium. You know he's very connected because you can see it and everyone can see it. So it's all about raising our energy, isn't it? It all comes down to that. So you can look and see if you can see the aura. And then someday, one of these days, I will do an online course for that. I'm a little busy with some other projects because I tend to overdo. But that would be a quick, easy one. It would be so much fun because it's fun to teach people how to see auras. And but I am really kind of running out of time, aren't I? Well, whatever. You guys are used to me. It's all good. New comments. Great show. Loved it. Thank you. It's fun, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, John Ember's awesome. Okay. Now, what do I need to tell you? If you have not followed me yet on Facebook, please do. Colleen Van Der Zijden, medium and intuitive coach, intuitive life coach. I have a course called Happy and Unstoppable that helps people basically move beyond their challenges and reconnect to their themselves. And I am going to be posting this on my Facebook page shortly with a discount because we are in discount season, and isn't that the best? So with a discount so people can get a bit of a discount if they want to take the course. I'm telling you, you guys have been watching me for an hour here. So I'm telling you so you'll know about it. And you can hop on there and buy that course if you're interested. If you're not, that's fine. It's there to help people. I am not a pressure person. I don't like selling stuff. So it's just there to help. If you're interested, it'll be there. I'll be posting that probably tomorrow. If you don't follow me in my website as well, I will be sending a newsletter out too. But you can follow me there, ColleenVanderZijden.com or PsychicMediumColleen.com. If you sign up for my newsletter, you get a free download, a free ebook on living a more meaningful life. So many things. And make sure you follow Lilydale Assembly so you know what's going to be happening next year. There will be a nice grief weekend. I know that sounds wrong to say it that way, but there will be a grief weekend in July where we will be helping people handle their grief and also connect in with their loved ones on the other side. It's going to be a great weekend. Okay, I think I am done. Okay, I'm looking to see if anything is up. I started the course last week. Thank you, Jan. Loving it. Would it be appropriate, my course for a psychic medium? The course, what it is, thank you, Jan, I love that. The course helps people, basically. Oh, cat jumping on my lap, clawing me while he's doing it. Hold on. I had to pull him up. Thank you. The course basically helps people connect to their inner power to help them understand that they have the power to change how they're experiencing life. So within the course are strategies to help you handle whatever challenges pop up, help you look at things from a different perspective. Particularly, we start out with looking at ourselves from a different perspective. We want to make sure you look at the good qualities we have, because how many of us don't pay attention to our good qualities? So we start out with that. And then we move into the power of our words and the power we have to consciously, intentionally change what's happening in our lives. So it's all about you and helping you get through your crap, basically. These are all strategies I developed accidentally as I was on my own path. And even to this day, if something goes wrong, I think, okay, which one do I need to use? Where am I? What emotion is leading me to what? What's happening? So it could be great for pretty much anyone. So it's up to you. I will post it. Maybe I'll do a little video with it just so I can explain it a little bit more. A little bit of regrouping. Yeah. Yeah, you can read about it and see what you think. Okay, well, I best stop talking because I've talked for a long time tonight, but healing is one of my awesome, fun things that I love to teach about. So thank you for joining me. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. If you have any questions, let me know. Next week, we will be talking about intentions. I have some little tricks with that as well. So we'll be talking about that. So you guys have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.